The world continues to watch as the horrors continue to unfold in the war between Israel and Hamas. We also continue to listen to who was saying what. Now, this can all certainly be an overload to your senses and understanding. My next guest joins us to examine the various key elements of this battle. He is an executive committee member of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, serves by presidential appointment as a member of the U.S. Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad. He's a board member of the Yale School of Management Board of Advisors and CEO of Genesis 10, Harley Lipman. How are you today, Mr. Lipman?
I'm very good, thank you. A bit broken up inside, but other than that, I'm doing fine.
Well, I think any Jew or non-Jew with a heart and compassion feels as you do. A couple of websites for you before we continue here. For the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC.org. And for Mr. Lipman's company, Genesis 10, Genesis10.com. And yes, we do have those links over at our homepage as well for your reference. I think I need to start with something that I know in the here and now is not as vital as the conclusion of the battle and the elimination, hopefully, of and the breaking of Hamas. But if you look at the root of all this, Hamas had a huge incursion across the Israeli border. That has to be something that has to be looked at in the very near future, because that exposes something that no one really thought existed.
You're absolutely right. And I guess what you're referring to is the intelligence failure,
yes,
of Israel and the United States that oversees activities in the region. That's correct. So since you're starting with that, I guess the best way I could respond to that is that, in my opinion, it's about complacency, and it's about it's a kind of arrogance, if you will, not intentional, but on behalf of Israel and even American leaders. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I define arrogance as when you think you know better what other people are saying than their own words. In other words, somebody says they're going to kill you, and you think, they don't mean it. They keep saying it. It's rhetoric. It's just used for propaganda. They don't mean it. So I think that's why I say it's arrogance. The Israeli leadership, stunningly and extraordinarily, somehow thought, you know, because they Israel has become a superpower militarily, technologically, they're in space. They produce more startup companies per capita in any nation in the world. They, you know, basically thought that they're good to go and that the enemies know this and their military is more powerful than ever before. And they got their eye off the ball. They shift their focus to startup companies, and not there's anything wrong in people wanting to have a better life, but they forgot where they are. They forgot that they're in a really tough neighborhood. And if the Jewish people should have learned anything, it's that when bad people say they're going to do things, they do it. So I think that Israel got complacent. And I think that Hamas did put together an evil, brilliant plan that deceived the Israelis. You know, what they did was they negotiated aggressively with Israel to allow 15,000 Palestinians in Gaza get work permits to go to Israel to work so that they can make money, because there's huge poverty in Gaza. So that since they worked so hard for that, they fooled the Israelis. The Israelis thought Gaza and Hamas is not gonna put that at risk. They're not gonna do anything foolish. And there were two military actions in Gaza in the last year in which Hamas didn't participate. It was Islamic Jihad. Not Hamas. So Hamas did all kinds of things. Even on their communications, they would say, we're interested in governing Gaza. We're not interested in fighting Israel. They would say that privately on their phones, knowing the Israelis are probably listening in. And I think that in fairness to Israelis, they just couldn't have imagined anything like this. I think that this is chart new territory. Nowhere in the Middle East conflict ever was there the beheading of babies. Nowhere in the Middle East conflict was there ever taking hostages on this number? And an 85-year-old woman in a wheelchair, children 3 years old, 6 years old, women, girls that are 12 years old and 15, and they took them hostage in Gaza to rape the young girls and the children. What they're going through is horrific. I mean, I just saw a video where they had a young girl, 21 years old, in front of a huge crowd in Gaza. I mean, these are Palestinians. Thousands of people cheering as they're, you know, burning her alive. You know, authentic video, they're burning her alive. I mean, you know, and slowly. I mean, this is what we're seeing here. So to your good question, I'm giving a lengthy answer, admittedly. I think it's a combination of disbelief, a bit of arrogance. You know, when you think you're smarter than the other people and you're more powerful, it's easy to underestimate them. It's the first rule of warfare that Israel violated. Never underestimate your enemy. And never hold them in contempt as well.
And Hamas took their lead from ISIS, who long ago started practicing advancement through infiltration, which, as Mr. Lippman mentioned, with those work permits, those 15,000, there's your infiltration right there, just as our foundation. You mentioned the Palestinians, and a lot of people, even those in leadership who are trying to figure out what to do to lower the temperature in the situation, it's long been thought of, we can get the Palestinian people to turn against Hamas, this will be a good thing. The problem is, isn't a majority of the Palestinian population standing with Hamas?
Great question. And that is the question. Because in speaking at for a solution here, your words were lowering the temperature. What I would say is that I believe, and I hope I'm right, you know, I do believe in the goodness of people. I don't have hatred in me. Everybody I know in Israel knows someone who's been kidnapped or killed, including myself. We're all broken up. And, you know, we and there is anecdotal information, and there are surveys that show the Gazans are truly fed up with Hamas. I mean, think of what Hamas has brought them. You know, nothing but misery. It's one of the poorest places in the world. The Hamas leadership spends all the money they have on guns. And to your question, I hope that since they've been bombed and bombed and bombed, that we can find people in Gaza who are reasonable. They don't have to like Israel, but at least hopefully they can live alongside Israel. And that's what we're looking for. At the end of World War II in Germany, we found Adenauer, who led Germany. So, and there were people in leadership in Germany who were not Nazis. So the hope is that we will find that. That's what I believe in. And I think that'll happen. But I want to go back to Hamas and their strategy. I think it's really important. One is, in their own charter and manifesto, they say they want to kill every Jew. They say every good Muslim will see a Jew hiding behind a rock, find that Jew and kill him. You know, they say it explicitly. So again, the Israelis decided to think not to take it literally. And it's shocking to me that, you know, the last time that happened on a colossal scale, that was said by Hitler in his book, Mein Kampf. Now, that was a big book. It was about 570 pages. Not everybody went through it and paid attention to it. But the Hamas manifesto was really short, and it lays it out. So what's the significance of this for the future is one thing, Iran.
Yes.
Because with all the damage that Hamas has done, they don't have a fraction of the firepower and the abilities that Iran has to harm Israel and perhaps even destroy it. And if you think about it, I mean, Iran is the center of Holocaust denial in the world. Why would that be? I mean, just think of that. Why would they be the center? What do they have to do with the Holocaust in Europe to begin with? They have nothing to do with it. I'll tell you why. Because they want to get the idea out that the Holocaust is exaggerated or it never happened, because they know it creates sympathy for the Jews. And if they can eliminate or diminish that sympathy, and especially if they could demonize Jews, which is what Hamas and the Arab world does, and leftist media, European media that collaborates with it, calling Israel apartheid, which is not true, and racist, which is not true. If you demean people, dehumanize them, then you could kill them. Arabs are not born bad. Germans in World War II were not born bad. People are generally good people. But when you indoctrinate and you can get people to believe that someone else is not even human, it's tragic and horrible to encounter, but that's how they could go and kill women and children like this. But this is even worse than ISIS. Even ISIS, by the way, didn't behead children.
No, it's true.
You know, I mean, even they didn't do this, but the torture and terror that they put these people through, raping them repeatedly in front of the parents, and then killing the parents. I mean, just, you know, and people who are sleeping in their beds, I mean, people who are hiding, people didn't do anything. And hopefully the only good thing out of this, even though it's a terrible, terrible tragedy, is that we are not different from 1942. Not since the Holocaust have more Jews been murdered simply because they were Jews. So while we think of the Holocaust as something in the past, it's part of history, we tend to be in denial. Everybody in the world, we like, can't imagine that could happen again. Well, it's happening again. It's happening. And I think that Iran keeps talking about destroying Israel. They keep demonizing and dehumanizing Jews, saying Jews come from monkeys and apes. They're doing and saying everything. Why are they doing it? There's only one purpose, to try to dehumanize the notion of Israel and Jews so they could commit a Holocaust. Because it's not easy to get people to want to exterminate a whole other nation. You need a whole campaign to get them psychologically geared up and prepared to do that. And that's why they're doing it. So my message to the Israeli leaders and American leaders and world leaders are, what are we waiting for? A nuclear bomb to hit Tel Aviv? And by the way, if you read the Iranian press, they say Israel is the little Satan, but America is the big Satan. So they're coming after Israel first because it's right in the middle of their neighborhood. But they made it very clear that their goal, their real goal, is America. So Israel is like the outpost in the West. If that gets gone, then they're going to be on your shores. So yep. I think not only Israel, would of course be the first victim, but inevitably it would come to the United States. Death to America. Let's not forget how this regime came into power, picking hostages, right, in 1979, and having signs in the streets saying death to America, death to America, which they repeat almost daily, every day, since 1979. Believe them.
And we've seen the infiltration, I'll call it a verbal Holocaust, out in the open just this past week with the various, they call them the Day of Resistance protests across the country, where people of all ages were saying, no problem with what Hamas is doing in Israel because it's against Israel and they're the occupied. I mean, you've heard the same pablum over and over and over again. And what Mr. Lippman is bringing up to the forefront is the point of focus that we need so much more strongly than we're seeing right now, not just with the leaders, but when you hear someone in your little circle of life, whatever it happens to be, whoever it happens to be, and they're spouting off the toxic poison of anti-Semitism, of Jew hatred, of threats, of violence, take them to the side. Don't shun them. Don't let them go off and continue doing what they're doing. Say something to try to educate and try to bring them out of that darkness and help them understand what's happening over there. Over on our Facebook page, I posted some of those photos that Mr. Lippman talked about the charred bodies of babies beheaded. And if you don't want to look at them because it's reality, well, maybe you're part of the problem then as well, because a lack of knowledge and a lack of action is just going to allow this to continue to grow till it's at our shores and within our boundaries. Learn more about the work of the organizations that Mr. Lippman is a part of, the important work that they do. Most importantly, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC.org. He's also the CEO of his company, Genesis 10, which is Genesis10.com. Hartley Lippman, thank you so much for the voice that you raised. That's truth and fact. which is what we need right now. And thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.